Hey, good evening, everybody, and welcome to the Thursday night shiur for Parshas Lech Lecha. At the very end of the Sedra, we're introduced to the mitzvah of Bris Milah, which was presented to Avraham Avinu when he was 86 years old. And the Torah has a number of psukim about Bris Milah. I printed in the first of the sources some of those psukim. The shiur I entitled this evening is there a spending limit for a Bris Milah? Now, let me clarify that I'm not talking about this evening about paying the caterer or the bagel place, or the you know, the shul for the rental of the social hall, or those kinds of expenses for the Sudas Bris Milah. There is a mitzvah to have a Sudas Bris Milah, but that's not what the topic tonight, what one spends on that, but rather the question of, is there a spending limit to be able to enable the mitzvah of Bris Milah to be performed? It's not a question that we have too commonly in our community, but if someone lives far out of town, you live in some, you know, some small town someplace, and you have, there's no mobile, you have to fly somebody in. Maybe sometimes they come for Shabbos, and there's all kinds of expenses involved. You know, to what extent does one have to put oneself out? It could be very expensive, especially sometimes people live overseas. There are stories about this. Again, in our community, it's not an issue. There are plenty of mollim around. But that's really the question I'd like to look at tonight. The Torah tells us in the first of the sources, Perek Yud Zayin, starting in Pasuk Tes, I'm only kill Avraham, Atos Brisi Sishmor, etc., keep my covenant. Pasuk Yud Zos Brisi, this is the Bris. Himo Lachem Kol Zachar, you have to circumcise every male in the community. And again, Pasuk Yud Aleph, Unamaltem Es Besar Alashem, you have to again cut the foreskin, that's the circumcision. And that's why those Bris Ben Evenechem. And then the Pasuk Yud Beis, this is how old the child has to be. When Shmonas Yomim Yol Kol Zachar Dorosechem. And it applies not only to children, but also to other servants and other people who are part of the household. And then it concludes, this section concludes in Pasuk Yadal, V'orel Zohar Shalom Yimolos Pesar Alos V'nichrasa Hanef Hashem Ames Brisi Hefer. Somebody who fails to do it, so the punishment is Kores, a very serious punishment, right? Premature death is a lot of discussion exactly what's meant by Kores and the multiple times it appears in the Chumash. But for our purpose, a person is subjected to premature death, maybe in the future not having children, other things, and it's not a good thing, let's put it that way. And obviously it's a severe punishment for what's considered to be a very important mitzvah. And that leads us into the discussion. As I said, is there a monetary spending limit? Again, not for the Sudas Bris and the caterer and everybody, but rather to, you know, to enable the mitzvah to be performed. So one other pasuk that's relevant, as we'll see, is a pasuk next week's Sedra in Vayera, when Avraham Avinu actually fulfills the mitzvah for the first time on the child who is 8 days old. Because in this Sedra, he gives you, the end of the Sedra says, has Yishmael, has a bris, he's 13 years old. But the first one who has a bris at the age of 8 days is Yitzhak. That's in Parakafala operations, Pasuk Tesla, Yamal Avram, is Yitzhak and Shmona, Saman Kasha, Tzivah, Solokim. So the famous Mishnah in Kedushin discusses some of the obligations that a father has to a child. And the Gemara elaborates on Chof Tesim and Aleph in Kedushin, source 3. One of the obligations that a father has is to make sure that his son becomes circumcised. And the Gemara says, where do you see that? So it says, and really it probably comes in the second half of the Pasuk. Avraham Avinu fulfilled the command of HaKadosh Baruch Hu and he circumcised his son. Then the Gemara goes on. It says, what if the father didn't do it, though? There was no father. The father wasn't there. He refused to do it or something. So the local bezin of the town, or the other members of the community have to see to it that gets done. They'll see Himol Lachem Kol Zohar. That was the previous source in Perek Yud Zayin, Pasuk Yud, back in source one, the second Pasuk. Himol Lachem Kol Zohar. Lachem means you're the community. Everybody has to participate in seeing to it that this mitzvah gets done. And then it says, that's when the child is a baby, the child's a kid. However, the second line of that Gemara that's printed here, Chof Tazmal, the Hechav de lo Male Bei Dina, and if the father didn't do it, and the Bezdin, the community didn't do it, Mechayev Iyu Lemil Anafshe, the child himself becomes obligated to see to it. Rashi fills in right away, Mechayev Iyu, fourth source, Kedushin Chof Tazmal, Mechayev Iyu Kishida, when he becomes of age, over Bar Mitzvah, not gonna, the child is 8 days old, can't do too much. Even when he's 8 years old, when he comes Bar Mitzvah, then it becomes, and he never had a Bris Milah because the father didn't do it, or there was no father, the community didn't take care of it. And there were cases like this, you know, sometimes, in, you know, in the, a couple of decades ago when the Jews came out of Russia and so on, people hadn't been circumcised, so they had to do it at an older age. So that becomes their obligation. How do we know? That's the last pasuk quoted in source 1, Perek Yud Zayin, Pasuk Yud Daled. The Orel, the uncircumcised person who doesn't take care of it himself, is subject to the punishment of Kares. Okay? So now then the Gemara just goes on. Ashkechar miyad, you know, from the fact that Avram gave Yitzhak a bris, that teaches that happened then. But who says Ladoris? Who says that's a din? Ladoris Menon, how we know it applies to all generations? Tanar the baby Shmuel, Kalmokum, Shemar Tzav, anyway, Laziris, miyad, Uladoris. Okay, the word Tzav, Tzivoy, and again, that Pusik in source two, the Pusik in Vayera, which says Vayomal Avram, is his one of Ben Shmuel, ends Kashia Tzivo, Solokim. So the Lashon of Tzivo implies that it's Ladoris. Right, and also should be Mizaris about it. Okay, so that is the that's the basic Gemara and Kiddushin of Chav Tes. The Pnei Yoshua on that Gemara, source number five. The Pnei Yoshua on Chav Tes and Al Dun HaGemara LeMulam Nolan. He said, how do you see from that passage just because Avram did it? Okay, so how do you know that a father is always obligated to give a bris to his son? So the Pnei Yoshua suggests, why does a pasuk have to say? They again back in source two next week said, by Yomal Avram is Yitzchak Beno. Why don't you just say Vayomal Avram is Yitzchak? We know that it was his son. Why does it say Yitzchak Beno? So the Pnei Yoshua suggested Mitur did Beno. The X word Beno teaches us that it's a general Cheva of Alabain. Okay, because otherwise you didn't need that word, and otherwise you might have thought that maybe Avram did it as a member of the Bezdin, as a member of the community. Maybe Avram did it for that reason, but no, he did it because it was his son. That's how we learned that out. And another commentary on that Gemara, the Makne, right from the Pinchas Alevi Horowitz, the Havlo. So the Makne and Kiddushin, more correctly, should be called the Sefer HaMikna, but in the Yeshivas they call it the Makna. Makne, that's one of the important Achronim on Maseches Kiddushin. He wrote a commentary on Ksubas called the Havlo, that has his initials in it, Pei Lamed Aleph, Pinchas Alevi Ish Horowitz, Havlo. But anyway, he wrote a Sefer on Kiddushin, which is based on a pasuk in Yirmiyahu, Sefer HaMikna, but it's called in Yeshivas the Makna, incorrectly, but okay, that's what it's called. So you can call it whatever you want. When you look in source number six, he says, whatever his name is, he says, Kiddushin Chav Tes and Aleph, he says, what Bezdin means, what the Gemara means by Bezdin, it doesn't mean a Bezdin, you have to have a court to convene a Bezdin. It means, but it says Bezdin, Lav Dafka, call you so the community, people, other Jews have to see to it that it gets done. That's what it means. He brings rise from other places like that. The father's not there, so the other members of the community have to take care of it. Now, the pasuk said again, pasuk Yud Dalad, the last of the pasukim presented in source one here in Parshas Lech Lecha, Perek Zayin, pasuk Yud Dalad. Ba'aral Zocha Shaluimos Besar Orloso, so he's subject to Kares. Now, Rashi makes an important distinction. Look in 7. Rashi says here in this pasuk, Ashaloyimo mishagia leklal onshin, when he gets of age to deserve punishment, right? Not when he's 8 days old, but if there's no bris and the child grows up and so on, he's of age to be punished, then he's going to be punished against subject to kares. Aval, aviv ein honor shalom kares, aval overbris. If the father did not give him a bris, there's no kares. In other words, the kares is only on the body of the person himself whose body is supposed to be circumcised. So if the father has a mitzvah, and if he doesn't do it, he's over by say, he violates a mitzvah say, fails to perform mitzvah say, yes, but he doesn't get kares. The father, for failing to do the bris milah, will not be subjected to the punishment of kares. Kares is for the person himself, and again, it's obviously not going to be applicable to becomes of age for punishments. And that's based on a Gemara. A couple of Gemara's, the Gemara in Shabbos, Kuflam and Gimel and Bay, source 8 says, Godol behed yaksiv beva orel zohar shalayimol. The Gemara clearly, again, it's saying that in a different context, but you see clearly from that drosha in the Gemara in Shabbos, Kuflam and Gimel and Bay, is that when it says, orel zohar shalayimol, refers to a Godol, an adult, you know, over the age of bar mitzvah. Rashi explains, Godol ben shalosh is right, when it's 13 years old. Dichsiv be bris, okay? But Oral Zachar Shalimol as PCFR, a high crop of Godel Tzid, the Mechayev Le Koresh, Yimlo Molo Aviv, Chayev La Molo Satzmo. That's what he said before. And, you know, if the father didn't do it, he's got to do it himself. When he fails to do it, he's subject to Koresh. Okay? However, the father is not subject to Koresh. That emerges from a Gemara in Source 10, Gemara Yuvama, Staff Ayan Amud Bey, the Parak is called Parak, all that says, Arelis Havad Le Rebuya Shekane, skip the resume, Mechusa Maisa Maisa Begufa of Anush Kores, different things about an Orel. And one of the things it says is Anush Kores, the punishment of Kores, but it says Maisa Begufo. The implication at Gemara is that the only punishment of Kores is on the owner, so to speak, of the body that is not circumcised, not the father. It's the father's obligation to take care of it when the kid's a baby, when the kid's a child. But if the father fails to do so, he doesn't get Kores. Kores is only on the person who did not have the bris done to his body. And again, it doesn't become applicable till he's of age to make sure that gets done. So that's what the Rambam tells. We look in the beginning of Hilchos Mila Parak Aleph Alach Aleph Source 12. Mila Mitzvah Sasei Shechavon of Kores Shenemar V'Arul Zochar Shalimol Sparal Oso, etc. The Psukim. Master with his servants mentioned before, that's not so much our issue. Okay, Allah Khabez, Ain malam b'no shalom shalom midai talim kain avar v'nimna lamulo shabeiz din manos oba karchol. Even if the child's little old doesn't want it, the bezin steps in, fine. And if this alim b'bezin v'lo malo also, if the bezin, again, as we saw in the machne, bezin doesn't mean a formal court, but it means the community, okay, other Jews, okay, they didn't do it, then kishe yigdal hu chayv lamulo atzmo. And the Rambam writes, v'chol yom b'yom sheyarvo v'she yigdal v'lo yom atzmo harim avato mitzvah saseh. The Rambam writes, every day from the child, when the day the child reaches the age of 13, and assuming he's aware, obviously. So he is violating this mitzvah, I say. But he doesn't, not subject to kores, aval eino chayv kores ad sheyomos u'arob mezid. He can do it any day. He can do it tomorrow, he can do it the next day. Every day he delays, so then he's violating, I say, but kores doesn't, he's not labeled with the punishment of kores till after he dies and had never did the bris milah. So now you can wonder, well, if the guy's dead already, so what role does kores play? Okay, kores may mean other things as well, or he has to do with, olam haba, whatever we want to answer. That's the Rambam. That's an interesting position. The Rambam says, the chiyuv of kores does not go into effect until the person dies without having been circumcised. Why? Because you can't say, oh, you get kores if you didn't do it today. You can do it later in the day. Do it tomorrow, right? You can always fix it. But the Rabbi disagrees with that because there's a famous machlokas, which is not what I want to talk about tonight. I just want to call your attention to it. Because of a Rabbi, aim is at tavlin. There's no spice. There's no logic to this. He raised a question about Asura Sufik again, because how do you warn the person? You can always do it. But he says, "Kol yom omid b'sukaris." That's the key I want to point out. Now, he said the b'sukaris is applicable from the moment he's a bar mitzvah and doesn't take care of it. It's every day, not like the Rambam says. Okay. Now, the Shulchan Aruch, in the beginning of Hilchos Milos, Yoredeya, that's where the laws of Bris Milah are found, Yoredeya, Simon Reish, Samach starts, Sif Aleph Mitzvah Saseh La'av Lomolus B'no, Ugdola Mitzvah Zu Mishar Mitzvah Saseh. Now the Mechaber is telling something very important, of course the mitzvah on the father, and this is a more important, a more significant, a greater mitzvah than other mitzvahs Saseh. Okay, in what sense? So the Shach points out right away in Sukkot and Aleph, in source 14, Mishar Mitzvah Saseh, L'fisha Yesh Bot Tzad Kores. There is Kores, true. There's no kares on the father, like we explained before, but there is kares associated with this mitzvah, okay? Namely, if the father fails to do it, and then the child grows up, and he also fails to take care of it, then he is subject to kares, like we said, and as it says in the next siman, indeed, in the very next siman, source 15, Yerodeya Simon Reish Shamach Aleph, Siv Aleph, Im lo mo ha'avis b'no chayim bezin l'mulo. Like we said, again, the community has to take care of him. Im lo malu bezin chayim hu kishiyag delamas atzmo. Im lo yomo chayim koriz. And the Ramo adds, v'b'chol yom over ba'on shin elo. He sounds like the Ravid, not like the Ramo. Ramo adds, like the Ravid, the punishment koriz is on his head, so to speak, for the moment. Not like the Rambam says, doesn't apply till after he's dead. He says, like the Rambam, that's like the Ravid, rather. That's the Bira Gro points out. Okay, and Sin Reis Hamachal Sukkot and Beis in 16. Different than not like the Rambam. Okay, so anyway, so there is a mitzvah of Bris Milah. That's the father's mitzvah. That's the key of the Sugan Kedushin of Chavtes. If the father doesn't do it, he definitely is mevatel and asay. He has failed to perform its asay, but there's no punishment of kores upon him. But when the child gets of age and he doesn't take care of it, he becomes obligated to take care of it himself, then he has to do so. The idea that you're not supposed to delay the Bris, in other words, we know the bris is supposed to be the eighth day. Sometimes you have no choice but to delay the bris, namely because there's a medical concern. Every once in a while, there's a medical concern, right? The doctors are worried that, you can't, the child can't, it's unhealthy to have the bris. So good, like any other mitzvah, you don't do the mitzvah if it's danger to life. So we push the mitzvah off. And then when the child is healthy enough, the doctor determined that whatever the condition was is no longer applicable. So then you have the bris. Certain conditions means you have to wait for a week after the doctor said it's okay. Other ones you can do right away. Billy Rubin, the assumption is now that Rabbi Tendel Zichron Baruch just passed away, was very, very opposed to some of the hesitancies on the part of Molem to do it because of Billy Rubin. He said, Rabbi Tendel had a witty way of saying things sometimes. He says, yes, most people, what's Billy Rubin? Oh, it's Chaim Rubin's brother. Right? They don't know what it is, right? But he said, scientifically, whatever. But right, so sometimes you don't always have to wait 7 days. But be that as it may, if you don't do this, sometimes you delay the bris, but you're not supposed to delay it for not a really good reason. The Noda Behuda, I'm not going to read the whole tshuva, but it's interesting tshuva. Tshuva is Noda Behuda Madura Tinyona Chelik Aradeisim Kuf Samach Vav 17. I'll say outside, he was presented with the following case. An Erev Pesach, there's a minute for the firstborns to fast. But nobody ever does that. We all go to a Siyam. Right, someone in the shul makes a siyum, and he invites his 300 closest friends to join him in the siyum and to have some donuts and whatever else. Okay, so I'm a bechor, and I take advantage of it myself too. So I'm not criticizing anybody. But another time, we once spoke about that many years ago, but the whole time is bechor thing. But not everyone can always make a siyum. So what if there's no siyum? Well, then you're stuck. Unless you have the good fortune, there's a bris. Okay, well, I remember one year, years ago, I was at the siyum bechorim, and Rabbi Katzenstein, the old Rabbi Katzenstein, the famous mole, was from Breuers. He attended the siyum. I said, "What do you have to do the siyum? You're doing a bris right away." You know, yeah, but the minute he gets to go to a siyum, he may be right. There's a lot to say for that. But anyway, be that as it may, so the time of the Nebihud, the question was this: they had a baby who was born near Pesach time, and they couldn't have the bris on time. Whatever medical reasons, couldn't have the bris on time. So they figure once they're delaying it already, so okay, it's not going to be on the eighth day because it can't be for medical reasons. So now let's wait. Just a week and a half now, says Erev Pesach. Let's push the bris off to Erev Pesach. Then no one has to make a siyum. You don't have to find some guy who learned Horius, you know, overnight or something like that. You can have the bris. I'll take care of everything, right? But the Rebbe says you don't do that. That's the bottom line. You don't push it off. Okay, that's incorrect. He said it's anyone who does that, he speaks pretty strongly. He says, looking at the third line. Okay, even the day of the bris itself, we try and do it early in the morning. Sometimes you can't. You're waiting for the minion, you're waiting for the family to come, but you know, you're trying to do the bris. Most bris are in the morning. Once in a while, you have a bris in the afternoon, something comes up. Okay, but usually you don't delay a bris for no good reason. So he said the same thing here. We shouldn't do it. It's atzas v'shom. He doesn't like the practice, and for a number of reasons that he mentions over there. Okay. What's also interesting is that this question, you know, this issue of exactly why the, I just want to point this out quickly, as to before we get to the main topic, the Beis Halevi has a tshuva. He discusses in a different context. It's Chelek Beis Simon Mem Zayin. In the tshuva is Beis Halevi 18. He says, you know, there's an old chakira. What is the nature of the mitzvah of bris milah? Is it the cutting? Is it the action? Or that the child is now a nimol? He is now a circumcised person, no longer an oral, uncircumcised. Is it a result-oriented or a mice-oriented mitzvah? And the truth is, some suggest that's why there are two brachas, a strange practice, right? We don't usually have two brachas with the words Asher Kedushanu Mitzvot Tzivanu on the same one mitzvah. Sometimes there are bracha, then Shechianu, or a bracha on food, and Hamot Zalach Menorot, and then Asher Kedushanu Mitzvot Tzivanu, Alach Kedus Matzah, something. We don't usually have two brachas, Asher Kedushanu Mitzvot Tzivanu, on the same mitzvah. Yeah, that's what we have here. The Mohel says Asher Kedushanu Mitzvot Tzivanu, Alach Mila, and then the father says Asher Kedushanu Mitzvot Tzivanu, Alach Misa Barisa, Rabban Marino. So some say, one is on the Maisa HaMitzah that the Mohel says he's doing the cutting, and the other is on making the child now no longer an Orel. He's now a circumcised person. Okay. Anyways, that's a Chakira that the Beis Halevi discussed there. Mavad the Maisa Atzon, Hainu Chatichas Orel, cutting off the foreskin. Is that the Mitzah? Or is the Mitzah that he should be Shehiru Nimolim? And that may play a role in the question of, you know, of who, you know, of the Chiyuv Karis. If you hold that the, Maisa mitzvah is, you know, the actual mitzvah of bris milah is to be a nimo, then we understand why, you know, the child, if he doesn't take care of it, it's not so much the Maisa mitzvah, but the result. He's still called an oral. Okay, and then other than that may explain some other things too. But let me turn now to source 19, which is really presents a very interesting question that the Minchas Chinuch raises, not here in Parshas Lech on the mitzvah of bris milah, but in Parshas Bo, which is mitzvah hey, the mitzvah of Shchitas HaPesach. Okay, slaughtering the Korban Pesach. The Minchas Chinuch at the very end, it's the very end of the Minchas Chinuch on Mitzvah Hay and Parshas Bo, raises the following question. We'll do what he says. He says, look at Or Chaim at the end of Siman Tov Reish Nun Vav, Siman Tov, which we will. Okay, he quotes the Ramah, the Ein Tzarech Levaz Beis Hon Rav al Mitzvah Saseh. One doesn't have to spend a huge fortune in order to perform a particular Mitzvah Saseh. I'll speak about this, by the way, in the Motzei Shabbos here too. Happens to overlap this week, this issue. Okay. Because the Gemara says, "Rak chomesh v'lo yoseh." You only have to extend yourself to spend 1/5 of what you have, 20%, and that's it. And if you can't do it, then don't do the mitzvah. Right? If I have a poor person, I can't afford a pair of tefillin, and that's it. So then there's a limit to how much I have to spend to get a pair of tefillin or to whatever the mitzvah will be. Right? It's the same thing with Bruce Smith. But he says, yeshli stopik b'mila v'kan b'pesach. Okay, there's a common denominator to the mitzvah of bris milah and the mitzvah of korban pesach, which is what the topic over there in the Minchas Chinuch and mitzvah hey in Parshas Bo. Namely, that although they're both mitzvahs asay, there is a chi of kares associated with that as well. We'll come back to the psukim. Well, you can take a look now. I printed it in the source 20. Parshas Bahaloscha, Torah says that by Pesach Sheni, b'midbar perek tes pasuk yugimel, ba'ishashu hu tahor v'derech lohaya, if somebody was tahor on Pesach Rishon, okay, in Nisan. And he wasn't traveling. He didn't have any other of the valid excuses. V'chodal asos ha-Pesach. He did not participate in Shechitas ha-Pesach, bringing a Korban Pesach. V'nichres ha-Nafesh Yimamel. Ki Korban Hashem lo hikvodo chedah Yisrael Yishohu. So you see that the Korban, failure to bring the Korban Pesach is also accompanied with the punishment of Koris. And those are the two mitzvahs I say. In fact, if you look, I'll go back in this kind of second. You look in the mission at the beginning of Maseches Krisos, the first mission in Krisos, it says in 21, there are 36 sins for which the punishment of Koris is applied. Of all the violations in the Torah, there are 36 of them which get Koris. And the Mishnah lists them. And among them, they're all low sizes except v'ha-Pesach v'ha-Mila mitzvah saseh. Bringing the Korban Pesach and having a bris mila, those are mitzvah saseh, they also have Koris. And the al-elu chav and al-donor kar, so she goes so chatas. If you do a peshaw get chatas, we'll come back to that in a moment, okay? But the minchas chinuch question is as follows, going back to source 19, the minchas chinuch at the end of mitzahay and parshas bo. He said, you know, we have a rule that for performing a mitzahay to get a pair of tefillin, to have a sefer Torah, whatever the mitzahay will be, there's a limit to how much you have to spend. So he said, but maybe by bris mila and likewise by Korban Pesach, there is no limit. Because the Haim Chamurim, Dishbem Choris, in the second line. So Tzorach Labaz Beis, Kol Hono. Maybe for that you have to spend your entire fortune, right? You have to spend whatever it is. This is a mitzvah say that has Choris associated with it. So then, okay, Tefillin, I can't, the great mitzvah, but I can't do it. I can't afford matzah. So I don't have any matzah, whatever. I can't afford an Esrog. I can't get an Esrog, okay. But when it comes to Bris Mila, and likewise, Kor Shittos, Korban Pesach, if I don't have it, maybe I have to spend Kol Hon, and I have to spend my whole fortune. That's what the Minchas Chinuch wonders. Or no, came in the Haim B'Shev Al Taisa, ain't talking about Zbez or Akomish. No, maybe at the end of the day, you didn't actively do something wrong. See, when I violate a losas, I actively go against what Hashem said. Hashem said, don't eat this food, I eat it. Don't eat chametz on Pesach, I eat chametz. I actively went against the will of Hashem. When I failed to fulfill a mitzvah saseh, I didn't actively do anything against the will of Hashem. I just didn't. I wasn't proactive. I didn't do what I was supposed to do. It was passive. So maybe that's different. He tells, look at the Prima Gadim and so on. So he says, anyway, that's the question of the Minchas Chinuch. So it's interesting. The premise, of course, premise on which the Kasher rests is that indeed, Bris Mila has a Chiv Kares associated with it. And the Mishnah says in Krisos, it's a mitzvah saying you get Kares. Says al shigas ochatas. And if you do it by mistake, without knowing, then you're chayav ochatas. That Rashi already points out there in Krisos Beis Manalev. First of all, he quotes the psukim that are the sources for the Chiv Kares. We know, right? We just said it. In Pesach Bekares, because of the Pasuk, in Bamidbar Perek Tes, Pasuk Gimel, source 20, and Mila Bekares, because of an our parasha, Rishis Yazayin, Pasuk Gedalit, right? These are the only two mitzvahs to say, Bahani Pesach mitzvahs to say, but he writes, Ain Karban al Shigosan. Failure does not bring a failure to do it, doesn't bring a carbon. The chayav carbon, the ain carbon ela alav. Rashi sets forth the rule: a carbon chatos is brought for any avera for which had you done it, if you did it by accident. Carbon chatos means you violated an avera by accident. But what type of avera? The type of avera which had you done it on purpose would have been a chayav kares. But Pesach Hamila don't fall into that category. It has to be a love. Okay, that's what Rashi increases. It says, Rashi Erevin, where this mission increases, quoted, says the same thing, Tzadi Bob, but Aleph and Erevin, 23, a pesel of Amila, a pesel of Kars, ho, but ain't by Mlav, El Mitzah Stein, ain't Mavin al Shigas on Chatos, why not? Shein Chatos Bo, Ela Alav de Kars. Your Chatos is only when you have a love. Says who? Kaposik said, take a look in 24, Rashi quotes, I send you there, Vayikra Perak Dalid, where Chatos is introduced in the Torah. When the Torah introduces the Chiv of Korban Chatos by saying that it applies to mitzvahs asher lo sa'aseh, we call that a lo sa'aseh. And that's what the Rambam says in Hilchos Shkogos, Perek Av Rabeis, V'chol Avera 25, V'chol Avera she'chaven al zdon or kares, chaven al shigas chatos, except for three, Megadei, which for a different reason, cursing the Hashem, Mevatel Mila v'Korban Pesach, HaPesach v'Amila v'Neishayin mitzvahs asey. Bechatas ein mavin el shigas los asay. Shenemar this pasuk in Vayikra Paragdal pasuk beis achas mikala mitzvos Hashem asher los asay. And megadev because there's no action, you just talk. You curse. It's no action. A different issue. So that's the Rambam. So now get it. Let's look a little bit at this Minchas Chinuch question because it's an interesting question. Do you have to spend whatever you have to see to it that there's a bris mila? Okay, or no, it's in the category of a regular asay. So first of all, where do we see this idea of 20% altogether? We'll go through this part a little quickly. The Gemara says in Ksubas, Okay, Nunam and Aleph, top of page Nunam Aleph 26. Omer Bilah, but Ushi, Skinam of Azbez, Alvi Azbez, Yosef Mechomish. Okay, then the city of Usha, which is one of the places where the Sanhedrin ran around after, by the time of the Churban Bayis Sheni, the Sanhedrin had to leave Yerushalayim. They ran to different places for a while. They were in a city called Usha. So in Usha, they instituted Hamav Azbez, Ayaz Vazbez, Yosef Mechomish. Don't spend more than 20%. And there's a brisa like that also. Why? Shemetitzar Yitzar Klebius. Spend all your money. Then you'll have to become poverty stricken. You'll have to depend on others. And that's not right. Okay, and then the Gemara says, someone tried it and the Rabbanim stopped him. Now, Rashi, there in Ksubas, Nunar Alav 27, says, what are we talking about here? Hamavazbez la'aniyim, giving money to the poor, tztaka. For tztaka, you shouldn't spend more than chomesh, more than 20%. But it's not talking about other things, it's talking about tztaka. If that's the case, it's going to have nothing to do with our topic. Okay, but not everyone agrees with that take that Rashi prints. In fact, the Shita Gobetzes, there in Ksubas, Nunar Alav, quotes Rashi Madura Kama. An earlier version of Rashi, he says, Hamavazbez, he's not talking about tztaka. He says, Kos Hamavazbez in the Chos of Lehekdesh, donating something to the Beis HaMikdash. He could say that's a form of tztaka, but it's not tztaka to the poor. And in fact, the Yerushalmi, there in Ksubas, Parak Dal, Lachachas 29, says, Shimon Lachkish, B'Shem of Yudah, Ben Chanina, Nimnu B'Ushe, Aram Mafish Chomish, Ben Chosav, Lemitzvahs. Don't give more than 20% for mitzvahs. Now, the Karbon HaEdah, full disclosure, there in Ksubas Perek Dalach says the mitzvah means tztaka. But the Pnei Moshe doesn't say that. He says the mitzvahs in general. And that's certainly the way many, many Rishonim learned. There was a sugya in Rav Kama, Daf Tesem Aleph, going over to Daf Tesem Beis, which is talking at the end. What it turns out, it was talking about his hiddur mitzvah. How much money should you have to spend more above and beyond in order to do a mitzvah in a beautiful fashion? So take the famous mitzvah of Esrog, right? So you go to the store before Sukkot, the Esrog store, and you know, there's a $25 table and a $45 table and a $70 table and a $120 table, right? So, you know, all these different Esrogim, different quality Esrog. Hopefully they're all kosher, but one is some are more beautiful than others. Sometimes I don't care how they rank them myself, but that's a different issue. Okay. But you know, if you find a beautiful Esrog, how much money you have to want to spend? So the Gemara concludes you have to be willing to spend one third above, if you have it, you know, for the purpose of hiddur mitzvah. Okay, it also depends on what time. You know, I know someone who lives in Borough Park, he would buy his Esrog about 10 minutes before Sukkot, and Erev Sukkot, very cheap. Okay, very cheap at that point. Anyway, so the Sugya of a Kama, I'm not going to read everything inside, I'll save a few moments, but the Gemara there first thinks that when it says, look at 32, on the bottom of Tesam Aleph and Baba Kama, V'chein Amar V'asi, Amar V'zer, Amar V'huna, B'mitzvah ad shlish. For a mitzvah, you should spend one third. The Gemara thinks it means one third of your income for a mitzvah. The Gemara says on the next page, the second line of 32, Ilei Moshish Beisah. Yeah, is that what it means? That means three mitzvahs and you're out, right? You spent everything. So it can't mean that. The Gemara concludes that it means hider mitzvah. But the way Tosas points out, look at 34, Tosas, there, Baruch Kama, Tesma Beis. The Gemara wants the Ilema, says that the way Tosas learns that, no, you don't have to spend that. It's not what it's talking about here. And Tosas refers to the Gemara and Ksubas and Dafnun that we saw before, Hamavazbez, Ayavazbez, Yosef Mechomesh. And clearly, it's not talking about tzedakah here. Tosas brings in the Gemara and Ksubas about not spending more than 20% of your income. He's talking mitzvahs in general. It's not only tzedakah. So a person can't afford an esrog. They don't have to buy an esrog. You can't afford tefillin. You don't have to buy tefillin. The Rosh Baba Kama, and Parak Aleph, Siman Zion learns it that way. The Chiddush Rosh Bo, they're in Tesam Beis, Dibu Maschol, Mehod Amin, also learns it that way. So these were shown him, all learn. And again, the Rosh Bo quotes the Rav in 36, that it's again, so you're not supposed to make yourself dependent on others. You're going to spend all your money to go buy, what was that movie a few years ago, Ushpizen, right? The guy who spent, the poor person, he spent all his money to get a beautiful Esrog, that's Shalok in, and they have to depend on others to beg for food, and to beg for them, don't get such a fancy Esrog, right? So that's what emerges in that Gemara. The Rambam paskins this way, Hilchos Erchen Bacharam in Parakhez, Halach Yid Gimel 37, the Rambam writes, La'olam lo yakdish adam lo yachim kol nechosov. A person shouldn't give to tzedakah or to the Beis HaMikdash all his possessions. You think it's a nice thing to give up everything you have, says the Rambam. It's against what it says in the Torah. The Ein Zu Chasidus El Shtus. That's not from Kite, that's stupidity. Okay, that's not piety, that's silliness. You don't give away everything you have, right? And he also brings up, in this, and you know, he calls that person Chasid Shota, right? A pious idiot. And he says, quotes the same Gemara. Okay, I'll call it top of the next page. I'll call him a father. Mamona, b'mitzvahs, ayyafazer, yosem chomish. So the Rambam also clearly brings that Gemara up in the context of mitzvahs and not just in stock. And in fact, he quotes another pasuk, a pasuk we know. We said it many times and throughout the sukkahs, right? Pasuk in the Varan, Parshas Rei, Perek Tes Zayin, Pasuk Zayin. Ish kematnas yado, kibir kashmal kachashen al salach. You give what you have, what you can afford, and that's different for different people. Okay. So the same din appears in the Shulchan Aruch, and it's in Hilchos Lulav, or Chaim Simin Tov Reish Nun Vav Sif Alav. That's what the Minchas Kinnah back there sent us to this. Okay. And so first, the Shulchan Aruch says what we were talking about before. If you find an esrog, which you can be yotze, it's a kosher esrog, but betzimtzum. It's a minimally kosher esrog. And then you have small, it's like the size of an egg, whatever, small esrog. Then you found a more beautiful one, a bigger one. So you should be willing to spend up to one third more. Yotze, not fine. Okay. Now the Ramah says, look, at this, it's a key for us right now, third line of 39. Hagor the Ramah. This is again an Orchaim Sim Tof Reish Nun Vav Sifalo. Umi She'ein Lo Esrog O She'ar Mitzah Overis. Somebody who can't afford an Esrog, doesn't have an Esrog, or even another Mitzah. And it's called a Mitzah Overis. Because not as if this Mitzah is going to be applicable, well, be applicable for 1 week. But it's not going to be here, not going to be anymore next week, that Mitzah. Right? So it's a Mitzah Overis. Has a limited time, this Mitzah. Okay? It's unfortunate because after Sukkot, the Esrog is pretty cheap. Right? But the bottom line is that, you know, when it's the Mitzah, it's called a Mitzah Overis. The Ramah says, don't do it. Okay? Ein tzorech levaz begalel hon rav. You don't have to spend a huge fortune. And he quotes again the Gemara in Ksubas. Afilo Mitzah Overis. He says, but then he puts the caveat of Midafka Mitzah Zaseh. Of a low sasa. But if you're talking about violating a low sasa, then you can't call a mono kodesh Shabbos. You have to give up everything you have rather than violate it. You can't say, well, if I don't go to work on Shabbos, I'm going to lose 20% of my income. Yeah, too bad. Okay. Then you can't violate a low sasa. That you can't actively go against what a kodesh broker says. When it comes to a mitzvah, I say, so there's a limit to how much you have to spend. You have to spend up to 20%. Then you can't afford it. You can't afford it. But a low sasa, and we know people, right? And historically in this country, right? People who gave up their jobs, got fired. And if they didn't come to work on Saturdays because, it was expected that they would. Okay. They gave up their parnos. They gave up everything. That's the din. I'm not saying it's easy to do, but that's what it says. And the Mishnah Berurah explains. He explains some of the sources which we saw, and it's source 40 in Sukkot and Tess. Mishra writes, "I'm a mitzvah lo sase the bitul aseihu b'minim elakayim ve'ena osa shum ma'ase neged rotz Hashem yisbarach." Not doing a mitzvah say that's just I didn't do anything actively against the will of a Kadosh Baruch Hu. But by a lo sase it's not true. If I violated, then I went against. So that we have to give up everything. Similarly, we find a similar thing in Yoredeis in Kuf Nun Zayin. In source 41, that's a similar about Yehard Va'yavo, where you have to give up your life rather than violate certain mitzvahs under certain conditions. So the Shulchan Aruch says in Sefer Aleph, there, Kol Haveris Shebetorah, okay, Chutz Me'avod Shchom Gilras Shrichas Domim, all Haveris in the Torah, except for the three cardinal sins, right? Idolatry, adultery, and murder. Im Omer Lo Adam Shi'ar Alei Ma'yharig, Im Ubitzina Yavo Ma'yharig. Okay, if your life's in danger, you violate it. No matter what, except for those three, you can't violate at all. But anything else, it doesn't matter. Chometz on Pesach, doesn't matter. Eating on Yom Kippur, doesn't matter. Eating the treif, whatever it is, violating Shabbos, whatever you have to do to save your life, to save your life. Yavo Rali Yehari, violate the Aver. But it depends. If you want to be machmer, and the guy is doing it to get you to go against the religion, different rules. But anyway, there are more than adds. Bim yuchal lahatzil atzom b'chol ha'shalom, tzarich liten hakol v'lev lo sase. What if I can buy my way out of the situation? In other words, I don't have to give up my life, it's true. But if I can bribe the guy to leave me alone, okay, and we know Jews bought their way out of stuff sometimes, right? So Amor says if you can bribe your way out, right, to get the guy to leave you alone when he's threatening you to violate this law, even though I could violate it. But if I could buy my way out, then you have to give up whatever you have for that low sasir. Okay. However, there the Shach also says, and again, Yoredeis and Kufman Zayin, Sifkotan Gimel 42, yeah, that's by a low sasir. Avo mitzvah sasir, afilo mitzvah overis, ein tzarech levaz v'yosem echomet. Like we said before, okay. Then he discusses what if you only lose a limb or something like that. Where does that fit in? Okay, not our issue right now. Okay, the Prima Gadim on that Simon Tov Reish Nun Vav on the Magen Avraham, the Yeshua Avraham, Sukkot Mechez, the Prima Gadim says, he tells you, look at your day, look at the Shach, which we just did, and he says again the Chilik between Asay and Alos Asay is that one is one is active, one is passive. So he says, for example. What if a guy, tells you not to get to keep your chametz in your house on Pesach, okay? And they violate by Rabbi Motzi, right? So there, you're not doing anything active, so you leave it. You don't have to give up all your fortune and so on. All right, so that would seem to point to the fact that by Bris Milah as well, which is an assay, it's an assay. But, you know, and therefore, there's a limit. If you live someplace and it's going to cost you a huge sum of money to fly a moel out and so on and so forth, okay, so you don't do the, you don't do the mitzvah. All right. However, as we said before, the Minchas Chinuch points out, but maybe it's different when there's a Chiyuv Koreis. So it's very interesting. There's a Rambam, the same idea. Okay, the Rambam in his Perish HaMishnah at the beginning of the third parak of Makkas, Perak Gimel Mishnah Aleph 44, has all the rules about Malkas. Which Averis, you get Malkas, you don't get Malkas. The Rambam lays out all the rules. He says, Torah HaTel Adas is a Klolam HaMerubim, okay, that some Averis have Kores and some have Misim V'dei Shamayim, and sometimes it's a regular, so saying you need Edim, and other things, sometimes it's only a Malkas. Anyway, but he writes, and look on the third line, I print the whole thing, but it's actually, he gives all the rules as to, there's a difference, what if it's a lav shein bo maisa, and what if it's a lav anita klase, you know, we can repair the lav by doing an assay, all kinds of different rules that the Rambam presents there. But he writes on the third line of 44, v'yadur shakala mitzvah seim tzivu v'azhara, hatzivu mitzvah seim v'azhara mitzvah lo sase, and v'halashonos shenemra behena azhara b'torah. How do we know something's a lo sase? So he says, at four words, lo, al, hishomer, and pen. Let me see those words. Lo, don't do this. Lo, signal what it don't. Or al, another way of don't. Or hishomer, be on guard, not to. Or pen, lest you. These are all expressions. Then all, those are all things. Amru, kol mok, hishomer, shomer, pen, al, eno, mitzvah, lo, sase. O mitzvah, lo, sase, further subdivided and so on. Okay. But what's interesting is that the Rambam had said that, the one I'm looking for is that all the assay, yeah, so, all right, so that's the presentation here. But what's interesting is, and the Lech HaMishnah kind of calls attention to this, the Rambam seems to say that a kores, that when you have kores, look what it says on the, when he describes kores in the beginning. The first line of 44, Shekala mechuyiv kores, we'll leave out the Mitzvah Shemayim now, kores, Yeh osa achiyah velo sase. You know what the Rambam says? Whenever there's a kores, it's a lo sase. Oh, really? I thought we said that bris mila and shkita pesach are assays in this kores. It's a mishnah, the beginning of krisis, and it's based on pesukim in the Torah. So it's a little question what the Rama means by this. Unless he's saying in general, but he does say right. Shekol mechuyv kores, yeah, it's yeah osa chia below sase. And the Lech HaMishnah quotes a little differently, made a little different. The Lech HaMishnah, Hilchos Sanhedrin, Perek Yudches Halach HaBeis, he writes in 45, Echein Perish HaMishnah, Perek Elohen Elokin, that's the Rambam in the Perish HaMishnah, Kaz HaRav, Omnam Bo Azhar Ika Shetzenu, Ki HaTorah Eina Mechuyavis Misa Velo Kares, Ad Yu Lav. That's a Lav. So it's sort of the same question in the way as the Minchas Chinuch, right? The Minchas Chinuch says, Minchas Chinuch posits that the mitzvah of bris milah is different than all the other assays. In some ways, maybe it's closer to los assay. He at least posits as a possibility that you have to give up your huge fortune, right? He says, by all other mitzvahs we learned already, whatever the mitzvah is, you don't have to give up a fortune. But for bris milah, the minchas chinuch, again, at the end of mitzvah hay, the end of parsha, in mitzvah hay and parsha bo, the minchas chinuch posits, maybe Mila and Shechitza Pesach are different. They have to give up everything because there's a Chiyuv Koreis. Yeah, but the Rambam says that the Chiyuv Koreis is always a lo sase. So maybe it's because, to explain both the Minchas Chinuch and the Rambam, maybe it's because there is, in a certain sense, there's a lo sase involved in Mila as well. A lo sase involved as well. All right. The Reshechta, this is what somebody suggested in a shir once, that's what the Rambam is driving at, he thinks, and that's what the Minchas Chinuch is driving at, that maybe bris milah, even though it's an assay, but there is a lav, an avera associated with it, so to speak, as well, okay, which takes it out of the realm of regular mitzvahs assay. Now, the Gemara has a principle that there's something called a lav haba michlal assay. A prohibition which derives from an assay. Since the Torah says don't do X, we derive from here that yeah, do Y. That's called lav habo michal assay. There are many, many examples. I quoted the Gemara Pesachim, that's the first place of the prison of the Shas. Okay. Daf mem aleph and beis. The Pesach says in Parshas Bo regarding the carbon Pesach, look at 46, Parakut beis Pesach has. I'm talking about the carbon Pesach, so I don't quote those psukim. The ochlus habosar balayla hazeh. You have to eat the meat of the carbon Pesach that night, the night of Pesach, right? Tzliyeishu matzos amar mechut. Roasted meat on an open fire together with matzah mor. Beautiful. Okay. And then it says in Pesach test, al tochlu menu no. No here means not please, it means raw. Don't eat the meat raw or even mavashim or cooked in water. It's got to be on the open fire, not boiled or broiled, you know, with liquid, but rather than the open fire. Good. So the Gemara in Pesachim, in Aleph Beis, discusses, okay, you know, al tachlu menana is a losa, said, don't eat it raw. It never says, okay, with regards to tzli, it just says, eat this meat tonight when it's tzli. So the Gemara discusses, what if I ate the tzli, Tanar Rabbanan 47, achal tzli mi ba'od yom. Well, what if I ate the carbon Pesach meat? It was roasted, but I didn't wait till nightfall. I ate it in the afternoon. I was hungry, so I ate it in the afternoon. Erev Pesach, somebody's always hungry, no? So Erev Pesach in the afternoon, he couldn't wait, so he ate the carbon Pesach in the afternoon. All right? Or the other case, Kazayas, no, I ate a raw piece, Misha at night, so you're chayav. All right? So the Gemara says, what do you mean? How could it be? To lava, bom, chala, say, regarding cooked meat, it doesn't say you can't eat it. It doesn't say don't eat it until nightfall. It says, eat it after nightfall. So that's what we call a lav habo michal asay. Okay, it's a prohibition that emerges from an asay. But the Gemara's principle is, look at the last words of printed in 47. Again, it's mem aleph and beis pesachim. So chol lav habo michal asay. It still counts as a mitzvah asay. All right? And again, what do you have to be a lo sase? You have to have either the word low, or like the one Ervin Sadi Vavman Aleph says, and it's also in numerous places in Shas, 49, the Omar of Oven, Omar Rab Eloi, Kol Mokom Shinemar, Hishomer, Pen, Ve'al, Eino El El Belosa. So we saw the Rambam already, but this is where it comes from. It's a Gemara. So there's certain verbs that have to be used in order for something to be labeled a Losasa. Absent those words, which we don't find here, look back in 46, so it says, V'achlos HaPosom HaLayla Zetz Liesh. You have to eat this roasted meat that night. It never says, don't eat it by the next lab. In Pasuk Tes, it says, by eating it raw. There it does say, Al Tochlu. Good. So that's a lab. But eating tzli early on Erev Pesach still in the afternoon, that's not a lav, that's an asay. So that would seem to indicate that what are we talking about here? What's the minchas chinuch sofi? Ein hachanami, maybe there is an iser to be an orel. All right, but sof kol sof, lav abon chal asay. So why was the minchas chinuch mesupik that maybe because, what? Let's go over again. The minchas chinuch wondered maybe because, what do you call it? Bris Mila has a Karis punishment associated with it. So that takes it out of the realm of the regular mitzvah saseh and makes it more like a mitzvah lo saseh for which you have to be willing to give up your whole fortune, everything you have, whole rav, more than chomish, right? Or not. That's what he wondered. But he certainly entertained the possibility, right? And maybe the Rambam was also bothered by that in the Parish HaMishnah, the beginning of Makkah, the third parak of Makkah. So, but certainly in Minchas Chinuch, what's the idea? The idea is that maybe in some ways, Bris Mila is counted like a lav. It has a sort of lav properties to it. It has certain lav properties to it, in which case maybe you have to give up everything you have. All right? And that's the Rambam seemed to say something that otherwise, the Rambam seems to hold that way, because he says in the Parish Mishnah, we saw before, and the Lech HaMishnah points it out, in the Chesanhedrin Perker Ches, back in 45, he said that in order to, that all the Karis violations are a lav. Now the Rambam was well aware that Mila and Pesach, Korban Pesach have Koris, so he must mean that they're like a lav in some ways, like the Minchas Chinuch, like that sad, and the Minchas Chinuch Sofik. So, but it doesn't seem to fit the bill, because there's no lo, there's no al, there's no pen, there's no yishomer. And the Rambam Hilchos Korban Pesach Perches says in Halachay, Ochol and Kazayas Tzlim Ba'odom, Avral Mitzvah Saseh. Okay, the Rambam says, you ate the Kazayas Tzlim, on Erev Pesach, you ate the kazayas of roasted meat on Erev Pesach, you didn't wait till nightfall, you violate a mitzvah saseh. And you might say, because it says, v'achlos abos abalaila zeh. You didn't violate a lav. It's not a lav, because lav abos aseh. So why not say simply the same thing here by Bris Mila? What's the tzad of the suffix? And the minchas chinuch, no, you don't have to spend everything you have. There's a low saseh quality to it. Yeah, but it's still a lav abos aseh. So the answer is maybe not. Okay, maybe that rule of lava machal say is in terms of the punishment of malchus. Because it comes up that way. You know, we have a, how do you know which averus get malchus and so on and so forth? So the pasuk says in Parshas Kisetze, 51, par kaf hey, azar and pasuk dal, it says, lo sachsom shor bedisho. You're not allowed to muzzle, your ox when it's plowing the field. That's considered like a tzar balachayim. It's not the animals, you know, smells all the, or working with all this delicious food and it can't touch it. Okay, so losachsom shor b'disho. That pasuk appears right on the heels, looking 51, of the punishment of Malkus. The Torah tells a guy who's Perkaf of the Dvar and Pasik Beis, Vahayim Bin Hakosa Rasha. The guy deserves a Rasha, deserves to be Malkus. So the judge, they find him guilty, and so on. They give him Kedavish of Mispar, has a number of Malkus. How many? So it says Pasik Gimel, Arba Miakeno, right? 40. And we know 40 means 39. You got 39 Malkus. And right after that, so Sach some Shorbadisho. So the Sifrei there in Kisetse, in Pisco Reish Pei Vav, 52, the Sifrei in Dvar, says, Yachol kolam rusham lokim. Maybe every Russia did anything wrong is lokim. No, you have a juxtaposition of this pasuk b'hayim bina kosa Russia and our boyim akenu together with sach some shor b'disho. So ma chasima shor miuchedes mitzvos lo saseh v'ari lokim kach kol mitzvos lo saseh v'ari lokim. You don't get malchus for not putting on tefillin or for not eating matzah pesach or for not sitting in the sukkah. You don't get malchus for that from the Torah. Okay, because that doesn't matter. Every lav, and only those mitzvahs which are dumya de lav de chasima, which are similar to this lav chasima. Chasima is not chasima like chasima tova. So the sama means the lav of muzzling. Anything which is similar to the lav of muzzling, in that it's a lo sase, then you get malchus for that and not for other things. Okay, now. That appears in Gemara Makas Yud Gimel Beis, based on Psukim and Tochacha and Pashas Kisavo. Because after all, Tocha says that Bamidbar, I'm sorry, Dvar and Perak Kofkas, Psukim Nun Ches Nun Tes, it says, Im lo sishmar lasos, it's called Dibra Torah Zos. Haksuba Sefer Zef, if you don't listen to any of the mitzvahs in this Torah, right, and you're fearing Hashem and all that, Pasuk Nun Tes, Vifla Hashem is Bakosha, you'll get beaten up, right? So the Gemara Makas Yud Gimel Beis, Abishmal has a drosha, and he says, you know, Hifla Hashem Makos, what does it mean? It means from the same word, Hifla, he says like the word Vipilo in the Pasuk back in 51, in Perkofan Kisetse, Pasuk Beis, Vipilo Ashofet. It means you get Malkus. So you get Malkus for all these things. And at the end, the Gemara concludes that it has to be not everything, not every Avera gets you Malkus. Right? Again, if you didn't eat matzah, you didn't eat matzah Pesach night, you don't get Malkus. And if you didn't do a lot of things, you don't get Malkus for. So it has to be, as the Gemara concludes there in 54, Kulu, Nami Dumia de Lav de Chasima. It has to be similar to the Isser of Lo Sachsam Shor Bedisho. Okay, so it has to have, and the other thing, it has to have a Maisa, because that's a Maisa, you muzzled it, right? Lav Shein Ba Maisa, you don't get. And various other things that Sugi discusses, other types of violations you don't get Malkus for. Okay, because it doesn't match the Lav de Chasima. The Rambam says in Hilchos Sanhedrin, Perkin Ches Alacha Beis, 56, Kol Lav Shein Ba Maisa. That's what Lechem Mishnah was talking about earlier. Kol lav shein b'maisa ain lokin lav. It doesn't have any maisa, you don't get malchus. Some exceptions, fine. Okay. And similarly, he says, kol lav shein nitin l'tashlumin. If it has to do with paying somebody back and you pay it back, you don't get malchus. Kol lav shein nitin klasei. Any lav which can be rectified by doing a mitzvah. For example, it says, you stole something to somebody, then it's a mitzvah say, v'heishav zagzela, you return it. All those kinds of things, okay, don't get malchus because they're not similar to the lav de chasima. Okay. Now, it's interesting because, with this in mind, those lavim, okay, the Rashbo and Ksubis, Af Memon Alav Dir Masu Venesi Asay, has one line against something else, but he writes, Kavan de Eno Asay Gomor El Alav Habo Mechal Asay, Lo Adif Milav Gomor de Nichem Ne Asay. Talking about there, Asay Dochalos Asay, he says, Alav Habo Mechal Asay is not a Lav Gomor. Okay, so, getting back to our issue, so we should be able to say, resolve the Minchas Chenech Stirah, or not a Stirah, but it's Chakira, it's Kasha. He says, why not assume that Bris Mila carries with it, since it carries with it punishment of Karis, it should be labeled the Lo Saseh, okay? And it's labeled the Lo Saseh, so therefore you have to give up everything rather than violate it. No matter how much it costs you to fly a mole out or to get a mole, that's you have to pay. What are you going to do? Okay, it's like any other Lo Saseh, which you have to like violate Shabbos, whatever you have to give up, whatever you have, so you have to give up whatever you have here too. So suggests, so we suggest the Minchas Chen is a possibility. But then we said, no, it's a lava b'omechal aseh. But what emerges is that maybe a lava b'omechal aseh is only when it comes to Malkus. Okay, but a lava b'omechal aseh maybe really is a lava. Okay, and that's what the Rashbo seems to be saying. It's eno aseh gomor. It's not a real aseh. It's a lava b'omechal aseh. It's like a lava gomor. Maybe it's not worse than a lava gomor, but it's like a regular lava. The Gemara says lava b'omechal aseh is an aseh. That's for Malkus purposes, but it doesn't necessarily apply to all. So if we say this, then we can say, no, the punishment of Karis by Bris Mila tells us it's really a lav. Okay? I lav abom echal aseh. It is a lav abom echal aseh. Usually we say lav abom echal aseh is an aseh, but not really. That's for, insofar as not getting Malkus, but insofar as other things, maybe it is labeled as a lav. And then we're back to our question. The Pischei Tshuva over there in Yerodei Simkuf Nun Zayin in Sukkot and Dalet, quotes a Sefer Mishnas Chachamim, who writes, Shadat Daito Gam Kein Nota Lechalek, the Dafka Belosa says Sheish Bo Maisa. Okay, that's when you have to be willing to give up everything because of the Hu Adin Lehefek. Look what he says. B'mitzus asei, sh'over b'kumba asei, k'mo kol lav abach asei, m'chuyav levaz b'iz kol mamono. He entertains the possibility that there are mitzus asei for which you do have to give up your entire fortune. Okay, you know, if you actively say here, let's bring this over to our discussion. Maybe that's the idea over here also. Maybe, now let's go back to what we said at the beginning. This whole discussion is not about the father. Because remember, the father does not get kares. So if the father fails to do the bris, how much does he have to spend to fly a molar out to the boondock somewhere? He doesn't have to spend more than 20%. Because for him, it's a regular mitzvah say, and he doesn't have to spend more than a fortune. But when the child becomes of age, he becomes an adult, and he now is obligated to have the bris meal itself, it looks perhaps, let's entertain the possibility that you wouldn't have to, I'm sorry, that he would have to spend whatever it is to get a bris meal. That's an interesting possibility, that the idea of not having to spend more than 20%, maybe that's only limited to the father, for whom it's a regular mitzvah say, but for the son, when he's older, he hasn't had a bris meal, for whom it's a punishment of kares now, that makes it more like an a los asay. Even though lava bo mechal asay, that's only with regards to malchus, but maybe for other purposes, it is counted on asay, like the Rosh Bo implies. I'm sorry, the los asay, like the Rosh Bo implies, or like the Pesach Teshuva has one sheet that entertains that possibility. So, I don't know how we pass halacha l'maisa, but with this svar, we can answer something else interesting also. I'm sure I have to point this out. You know, there's a discussion in Psachim, Sari Aleph Mabez, about the chiyuv of women in bringing the Korban Pesach. And what about Pesach Rishon and Pesach Sheni? So the Gemara says in 59 Gufa, Isha berishon shokhtan abde atzma v'sheni osan sotfeil achirim. One din by Pesach Rishon, a different by Pesach Sheni, that's the Tanakhama. That Rabbi Huda says, rather, right? That Pesach Rishon, she's obligated, Pesach Sheni, she has to go with somebody else. Rabbi Yossi says, no, B'sheni Shokhman, that's what ain't Sarkhman Rishon. Certainly, everything she's obligated. And Shimon says, neither. Isha B'Rishon, Osa Tzvei L'Acherim, B'Sheni Ein Shokhman L'Kol Iker. Because Rabbi Shimon says, it says Ish. It says Ish by Korban Pesach. It's a question of where exactly it says Ish by Pesach Rishon. But they quote the Psukim in Parshas Bo, Perikid Beis, in Gimel Dal, it says, Dabro Chodasi Olai Mor Be'esor Chodzeh, V'yukhan Ish Selevei Savo Selabayis, Ish. That the Gemara rejects with the next passage. Not habayis melosiv alaka chushen or kavod mischasosho mischas nefoshos ish lefi achlo. Okay, however it is, it's learned out. So the Gemara assumed the Gemara has all these psukim. I only printed part of the Gemara. You look it up on Tzadi Aleph Mabez in Psachim. The Gemara has all these psukim to figure out what the obligation of the woman is. So the Sfasemis raises a very interesting question. Wait a second. Why not just say what? Yeah, women are exempt from Korban Pesach. You know why? Because the mitzvah says shazman grom. The old rule. What is it going back and forth? They took him and figuring out, and they all figure out that she is obligated. The default seems to be she is obligated. And they're trying to say, but no, the psukim is not obligated. What do you have to, well, first of all, why is that the default? What do you need all this back and forth with psukim? That's the kasha sasemis. Okay? Lechora kasha. There I'm starting off with Mazim Psukim, Dibu Masal Bigmar, Rab Shimon. Right? He says, Lechora kasha. The below Zenami, ha pesach, mitzasase, shazman brahma. Below tzark, kralamai, denoshim paturus. We don't need to find psukim. The women are exempted. They're exempt from all time bound mitzvahs, including this one. What's going on here? Says the Sfasemis. Right? So he says, wait, according to our Sfarah. Ach, yesh lomar, the cave of the Pesach, or say, sheyesh bo kareis. Hayasalka daitach lomar, the noshim chayavas bo. No, but we just said, maybe, just like we said by Mila, the Sfasemis is saying by Korban Pesach. Maybe that too. In a way, it's like a losa said, because that's kareis associated with it. So then the exemption of mitzvah eseh shazman groma won't work. It's only mitzvah eseh shazman groma. Look at 63. That's the Mishnah in Kedushin Chav Tesman Aleph. Chol mitzvah eseh shazman groma anashim chayavim anashim p'turot. Rashi explains, shazman groma, shazman gorim lo shatovo. It only applies at a certain time of year, a certain time of day. Time plays a role in the obligation of this mitzvah. It only applies at a certain time. So women are potter. But b'chol mitzvahs asay shalav azman groma, but it's not time bound. Echad anashim, echad anashim chayim. The women obligated the same as men, right? If it's not time bound, and of course Losa said women have to do the same as men also. But what's relevant to us is that line, right? Chol mitzvahs asay shalav azman groma. The second part, b'chol mitzvahs Losa said it's obligated the same as men. Well, says the Sfasemis back in 62. Sfasemis there Psachim Tzad Aleph Beis says, well, maybe that's the answer. The reason why the Gemara didn't entertain the women are exempt from Korban Pesach because it's a Esei Shalman Groma, it's like we said, because it has Kares and it has Losa elements to it. And in a bracket said, like Tosa says in Megillah, in answering a very, very interesting question. Okay, I printed it over here. The Rambam, by the way, paskins this way. I just want to know in all places. Par good base hilchos avodas kachama orazor gimel. That's where he paskins the rule of mitzvah sase shazman grama and so on. But anyway, if you look in the Gemara in Kiddushin chav tesmanal, this is what the Sfasemes says, and we'll wrap up with this. 66. The Gemara in Kiddushin says ihi menola and delo mechayva. How do we know? The Gemara said the father's obligation to give the child the bris. And if the father doesn't do it, then it's the community. And then if the child grows up, he's got to take care of it, like we discussed. So the Gemara in Kiddushin says, how do we know the mother's not obligated? Ihi delo mechayev, right? The Chsiv, we go back to the post we got at the very beginning. It was in source number 2. Next week's Seder. Vayomal Avram etzitzit beno kasher tziva oso elokim. Then why is it also oso velo oso? Hashem commanded him, Avram, and not Sora. Rashi says, right? Kedusha Chav Tesmanav, 67, Kashrut Tziva, also, below as Sora. Good. As Tosas, well, again, the same Kashrut, as Sasem says over there, Tosas jumps, you know, much earlier. As here, Kedusha Chav Tesmanav, Tzimah, so below, so in Tomar, Lomali Kra, typically, the Mitzvah says, Man Gromo, that's why it's only eighth, on the eighth day. Okay? So he says, well, once the eighth day passes, there's an ongoing, it's a longer time bound, it's one Teretz he gives, okay? But it's still mitzvah, but so that's one teretz. Then he says, but isn't it still a mitzvah grama? Because it's only during the day, even after the 8th day, it's got to be during the day, not at night. So he says, well, they wanted to give a teretz that worked according to the mandama, who says that bris milah can be done at night. Okay, Tosas gets out of it. Okay, everyone, you know, raises that kasha. Many, many answers. If you've been to bris, and many people talk about this, as the Dvar Torah to bris. Tosas Rid gives a different teretz. I have to talk about this Tosas Rid once. One of my sons, Tosas Rid, says that the maisa milah is on the 8th day, but everything you do before, all the preparation, the language is, the father has to get involved in planning, and that's both a day and a night. Okay, all kinds of terutzim, all right? But the Mitzvasemes over there points to a Tosa Megillah, okay, that refers to the following. The Sugin Megillah says, we know, the Pasuk says in Tazriya, Perikid Beis, Pasuk Gimel, Oyom Hashvini Yimol Besar Alosa, right? Then the eighth day, it's got to be by a day. And the Mishnah therefore says in Chofam and Aleph and Megillah, the Mishnah says, Ain Karnas and Megillah, that's why it's there, below Malin and various other things, Acha Tonei Tzachama. You can't read the Megillah in the morning or do Bris Mila and various other things until the sun rises. But B'dievet, Kulan Shasam Yishalam and Shachar Kosher. B'dievet, if you did it before sunrise, but after dawn, it's good enough. And Rashi says, because before then, it's a Suffolk Lila. And really, after Allah's Shachar, it's a rainy day, but not everybody knows. You can't tell until you see the sun. Okay. All right. Because it says, Yom HaShmini Yimol. So Tosa says the same kasha. Tosa Megillah Chof Amad Alav Divim Asal Duxiv V'Hikshar Ben Ephraim Kev in the Mila Ena Belaila Im Kain Avim Mitzvah Seisham Grama. Okay, so yes, why did the Gemara in Kiddushin have to struggle to figure out why women are putter? Now they said, well, because it says Avram was commanded, not Sarah. What do you need that for? Why don't they say it's a Mitzvah Seisham Grama? It's the same kasha, right? The Yesh Lomar, he says, because I might have thought that this is different. That's only true by Hecha Deleka Kores, right? Like various other mitzvahs. But here, maybe a mila, sheyeshba kares, and various other things, maybe women are obligated. Maybe it's an exception. Like we said, maybe it's in the category of a losase, right? There's maybe bris mila has that losase element to it. Therefore, that's why the Gemara didn't want, that's why the Gemara didn't want to say, well, women are exempt because of mitzvah sekhmar. That's why, shazom and grama. That's why the Gemara looked for other reasons. And they said, well, you have a pasuk, Avram was commanded, Oso below Oso, all right? But they didn't want to rely on that answer. And then he gives a second teretz and Tosa gives, like we said before, that maybe it's the mandoma who says that it applies at night and a day. And maybe the two differences is how far do we take this little Aruch HaKira? How far do we take it? Do we say, sof kol sof, it's a mitzvah sase, okay? And the end of the day, the fact that it's Karis doesn't change it. Or do we say, no, Karis changes its status? Right? The other day, it didn't give this teretz of Rabbeinu Ephraim, right? Like the Tosa in Kedushin or the Tosa Rid, who didn't give the teretz, they may hold not like that. But anyway, this would teach us that there is an interesting idea that Bris Mila has perhaps a losa set quality to it. So in answering the question, the title of the shiur, is there a spending limit for a bris mila? And again, I'm not talking about paying the caterer or the bagel place. Okay, we're talking about for the mitzvah itself. Well, that may depend on this question. Do we say, again, for the father, the day and the 8th day, there is a spending limit. He doesn't spend more than a chomesh, because if him it's a regular mitzvah, say. We're talking about once the child gets older, maybe because of the kares aspect, which makes him like a losa, so maybe that means he'll have to spend kol hon beso as much as is necessary to do this mitzvah, even though we don't usually say it on a say, but here, perhaps we'll say it. And on the other hand, perhaps we don't go that far. So that's an interesting question, regarding Bris Mila. Want a question? Okay. Yeah.
I was just going to say that the Sfas Semes answer is probably there's a good reason why Tosas the Tosfos in Megillah, the answer is because of Kares.
Right.
Like you said, there are like 50 other answers to that to that question.
Yeah.
But for this Ha'asemes, the answer is much better because by Korban Pesach, it applies to the person bringing the Korban Pesach. And that was a Shechitz Korban Pesach. But Tosa's answer, the whole problem is there is no Kares for the parents. Because that's the question, the mother or the father. But the mother and father don't get Kares.
Right.
The answer is, but because it could leave the Kares to their kid, so it's such an important
thing. That's the question. How far do you think? It's a very important point. Just, I'm sorry to say that you're absolutely right. Because it's not quite parallel necessarily. Because the question about the father and the mother was about the parent. Well, there is no Kares. The Kares is only on the child later. But that's the question. Do you say that since it's in the mix, that's good enough or not? Those are the two different days. Yeah. Okay, I wish everybody a good Shabbos, and you know, if the question ever comes up, how much you spend, I have to check with the rabbi. But these are some of the parameters of that question.
I wish everybody a good Shabbos.